We want to take time to ponder the Lord's Word and help, you know, to really get into a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word. So let questions keep coming. Happy to take them up. And to be as frank and again here, to return to the Lord's Word again and again, I think that's the best thing to do. Then we can see the reality of the Lord's Word in our hearts, in our life. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us to humbly, constantly, diligently turn to you. We pray for your blessings upon us. Pray that you will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are going to take up a question of, is hiding God's Word in our heart as having the Holy Spirit in us? And then, which is more important? To answer this question, we look at John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, we have the story of a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a person, he was called teacher of Israel. Meaning to say that he was a teacher of the scriptures. So obviously he knew his scriptures, he knew his history, he knew his stuff. That's why he was a teacher. What he did not have, according to Jesus, was he did not have the Holy Spirit. So we see a distinction between knowledge of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And he says, well, how does that work? I don't understand what you're talking about. And so Jesus has to explain that the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of God, and He will enter into the life of a person, and the life, the person is now, as it were, born again. Born anew. And it is a very, very, very startling thing. And it's very, very special, more ways than one. If I may, I just want to bring this little bit up for your attention. Then I don't want to say too much more and let this person share with us on Sunday. This coming Sunday, the person who is going to lead in worship is Dr. William Huang. Okay? And he will share, and I hope he will share this, of what it means for the Holy Spirit to come into his life and bring about a change which he has never seen before in his life. Okay? I must tell you that Dr. William Huang is a key hematologist in Singapore General Hospital. And he, at a family camp recently, he sat down with me and he just wept. And he said, would you pray with me? Because I really, really need this very much with all my heart. 18th March, he says, Pastor, put it down with me. This is going to be the beginning of a change in my life. And every week, without fail, initially, it was even more frequently, begins to look at how his heart, his mind, his spirit has begun to change dramatically. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life is to create, to generate a new life, a new lifestyle inside us. And it was wonderful to see this. It really has been. It's just absolutely amazing. And I'm glad for him. I really, really am glad he's seeing this. So that the reading of the Lord's Word today has taken on new meaning. Years ago, he came to tell me, he said, "Pastor, I want to read the Word of God and I'll finish it in 1 year." And I told him, "You will fail." Recently, I told him, "You want to read the Lord's Word? Not necessarily in 1 year, you will now succeed." The difference is the Spirit of God in our life. Here is the person. This is the human being. By himself, he is. That's it. But when the Spirit of God comes into the life of the person, his mind is changed. His heart is changed. This is a tremendous work of life changing, in our, which is a very, very special work of the Spirit of God. Okay? So you want to take a look at this very, very carefully and begin to realize afresh. You hear him on Sunday, 2 days' time. Let him share with you how the Spirit of God has begun to change his life. Wonderfully so. Okay? So, which is more important? You may have the Scriptures. You need the Spirit of God. And then the Scriptures can come alive to you. Very often, we try to read the Word of God using our own intellect. We think that we're smart enough, we're clever enough, we can understand, we can figure it out, we can apply it out in our life, and there is no problem. Really? That's your first mistake. It doesn't matter whether you are a top medical doctor. And Dr. William Huang is the president of the World Bone Marrow thing. It doesn't matter what you are, who you are. Without the Spirit of God, when it comes to spiritual things, you are as blind could be. You could not see, you could never see anything of the spiritual world. That is a reality. Okay, so I'm just looking forward to how he will share with a new heart, with a new spirit. We are always looking for this. Looking for people whom the Spirit of God will touch and his life will be changed significantly. And it takes the Spirit of God to do this. Okay? Now, was King Solomon saved since his heart was turned away? Now let's turn to 2 Timothy and we'll see this. See? Thank God for His Word, because the Word gives us tremendous assurance. Otherwise, we will not be able to be sure about anything at all. So we need to know what this Word says here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, this is a faithful saying. When we say a faithful saying, it means it's a saying that will stand the test of time. This is what it is, a faithful saying. If we died with Him, meaning if we believe in Him, in Christ Jesus, or we believe in the Lord, we shall live with Him. If we endure, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Remember Hebrews 8 last night we read? About He, when we sin, He will be merciful to us. Okay? Now how do we know that God was merciful to King Solomon? Well, let's turn to 1 Kings and you will see this. Thank God for who He is and what He is like. Okay? In 1 Kings 11, we read, "So the Lord became angry with Solomon." And then we read, "The Lord said to Solomon," see, God continued to speak to him, "That is your mercy. Because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, I will tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant." Now there is the Lord's mercy speaking to him. And then he said, "Nevertheless, I will not do this in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. I will not tear it away, the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." And so Solomon was plagued with enemy after enemy after enemy after enemy all the time, the rest of his life. Okay? So adversary, verse 14, was raised up. Verse 23, God raised up another adversary. Verse 25, he was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon. Then of course, we read in chapter 11, the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period of Solomon's reign was 40 years, and he rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So he did not live a wonderful life on this earth, but with reference to eternity, that is a totally different issue. There are two things that we ought to look at in life which we want to consider as vital. One is this life on earth. In other words, what is the significance of your life? Two, life in heaven for all eternity. This part of the eternal life part, it is something that has to do with God's mercy. It has something to do with God's grace. Remember, we can do nothing to earn this at any time. Even if you live the most wonderful life, it still doesn't merit this. It is given by grace and mercy and love, loving kindness of God. That's it. Thank God for this. Okay? Because if we were to look at the number of sins, you think our sins are not so many as Solomon's, you'd be surprised. If we were to sin in thought, word, and deed three times a day, times 365, you have 1,000 plus sins. Times 20 years, whoa. Times 30 years, I'm afraid that you won't make it in heaven either. So we are saved by grace and by mercy. But we are responsible for our life on earth. I pity Solomon. I really do. He's got no mind of his own. Every time he asks, "Shall we go for dinner?" 1,000 voices will come up. And I want, "Let's do Egyptian. Let's do whatever." Wow. It would be really be tough. Poor fellow. Really, that's why he turned his heart to wisdom all the time. Because then later on he will write also a thing. "Better to live in a small house than to have a living in a broad house with a bawling woman." I mean, you know how that works. It is better than to have a woman like rain that never stops. Oh, no. Chinese say, "Teng ti ho." Meaning to say that it's just non-ending. It's terrible. But of course, he had to write these things only after having experienced it. Then too late. If he cannot even divorce a wife because it will be war. Right? It really, really would be war. And it would be a war in 1,000 different directions. And poor fellow. Not so wise after all. Okay? Now, when we read and memorize a passage, how do we know whether it is considered a core text or not? Now, again, we remember what a context is like. Okay? A core has to be fundamental. And you build on it. Foundational. Okay? Essentially, the Old Testament is here and the New Testament is here. It builds one upon the other. What Paul says, foundation would be the apostles, the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, and we built the church along these lines. So the prophets are needed, the apostles are needed, they've already established the law, prophets, and the writings. They've already been established. And the pride of place is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can build safely. Okay? But try not to find an obscure verse in Ezekiel somewhere. And you don't know what it means. And then you say, oh, this is what it is. No, it's not. It's just take time to figure it out. And you will be able to work with it. And whenever you're not sure, always check. Okay? Try to check with someone who knows. Rather than check with someone who knows as much as you do or less. Okay? Try to check and then we'll just help you along the way. I think that would be useful. Okay. How do we discern the Spirit of God working in our lives? And it's not our thoughts but God's divine instruction. How do we adopt the mind of Christ? Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. How do we see? And the classic text on this subject of the Holy Spirit is actually Romans chapter 8. Okay? Now, this is important. This is a classic text here. And we talk about the Holy Spirit. And this is important for us. In chapter 8, the way the Spirit works, we call it this law of the Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was the law as well. Okay? So there is the law at Mount Horeb, Sinai, Moses, laws governing the land, judicial, ceremonial, religious, and so on and so forth, this part of it. And they help to rule our life, govern our life, help us to understand what life is all about. But then there is known as the law of the Spirit. And so we are introduced to the law of the Spirit. So now you will know how it works. Now these are the features about the Holy Spirit that are very, very distinct. And that's how you know it works. Okay, let's look at it. Number one. Okay, let's take a look and see what is this. We read, the Spirit, the law of the Spirit is life in Christ. Now, this is where life is. That's what we're told. How Jesus told Nicodemus, the Spirit of God, born again, life. Okay? This is very important. There will be new life. We have a new lease of life. You want to see, if the person is spirit-filled, that person is going to be alive. Not dead. That's the first thing that we want to take note of. Chapter 8. Okay, so there is life. And then it's mainly free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Okay, so the challenge is to live according to the Spirit. Okay, the things of the Spirit. Now, so we ask ourselves now, what is the life of the flesh? What is life of, as we understand it, or are we looking at the Spirit leading us? Is it possible to have the Spirit of God leading us in this particular manner? The answer is yes. The things of the Spirit. Those who are in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay? The Spirit will indwell the person. So when a person becomes a believer, the Spirit of God will now dwell within. It's very, very clear. The Spirit will dwell within, A, as our guarantee, B, as our seal that we belong to God. Now this is very important. Our seal and our guarantee, the Spirit of God indwells us. Okay? And He will teach us to mind the things of the Spirit. And our spirit will be inclined to things of the Spirit, naturally so. Okay, in verse 10, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If He dwells in us, He will give life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, again here is this thing called life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to observe a person who is filled with the Spirit of God, or whose spirit, the Spirit of God indwells a person. There is such a sense of life in the person, rather than tiredness and deadness and so on and so forth. No, it's a very, very special kind of life. Now, if we go on further, what else He would do? In verse 14, as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. There we go. So the Lord's Spirit will actually lead us. Now, of course, this becomes a little bit more complex along the way. But there we go. He will lead us in verse 14. These, because we are the sons of God. Verse 15. We have received the Spirit of adoption. And then we learn how to pray to God. And we call Him Abba, Father. The Spirit of God teaches us how to pray to God. And we can cry out to Him and call Him Abba, Father. Alright? Now in verse 27, we read that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And the marks of the Holy Spirit will be seen in us. There will be certain fruits in our life which will tell us that this is the work of the Holy Spirit changing us, and we'll see first fruits. Not the fullness of it, but first fruits. Ah, this will be this. And in time to come, if you cultivate this further, full bloom, fullness will come. Well, these are some of the ways in which you can tell the Spirit of God from our own spirit. Our own spirit cannot generate life. We led by our own spirit, we most likely will go wrong. For ourselves, we are not inclined to pray. Okay? Given a choice between food and prayer, food. If we are honest with ourselves. Okay? There was such a buzz when I went downstairs during tea time. They come over here, have to listen. See, there's your difference. At dinner time, another buzz. We all come alive when we see food. We almost have the inclination, even though it's empty, we want to see what's inside. We almost naturally incline towards things like that. Things of the flesh. Sorry to say, but true, things of the flesh. Things of the Spirit, we don't know how to go the way of the Spirit. But this is how the Spirit of God works. Very patiently. He helps us, and then we work at it. Alright, any questions you want to ask on this matter here? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just...
Pastor, that this is not about the Spirit of God, but given that there are many myriad situations in life, are there any principles that we can learn so that we don't erroneously apply the Word of God? It's a very great tendency to take things out of context and just to apply.
To anyhow apply.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we all do. We all... That's why we need a core text in Exodus 34:6. How loving, kindness, merciful. We all anyhow apply. We really, really do, unfortunately. We fast suffer from what is known as foot and mouth disease. Every time we open our mouth, we put our foot in it. It's called foot and mouth disease. Why do we always anyhow apply? We all tend to apply almost anything and everything under the sun. Okay, is there any way we can prevent this from happening? We could prevent this. Unfortunately, I am not sure that we can actually we know how to apply this except in wisdom. Okay, tonight I'll be speaking on how the experiences of life will become God's special way of teaching us His Word. In fact, most of the time, we do not really learn until we come across situations in life when we have to learn, we have to apply. There is no choice. Unfortunately, it has to be. We have to learn this way. That's why the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then only when I was afflicted, I came back. Unfortunately, it would be wonderful if we can really grow. Is there a pattern like this? Yes. Jesus had this. Samuel had this. John the Baptizer had this. Very obviously so. Okay? They grew in stature. They grew in spirit. They grew in favor with God. They grew in favor with men. If we can grow nicely, naturally like this, we would beat a lot of problems. But we don't. Unfortunately. We are pulled in so many directions. That's why we don't grow as well. Okay? We need to grow in all the different aspects. North, south, east, west kind of thing here. We really need. We need to grow in stature. We need to grow in spirit. We need to grow in favor with God. We need to grow in favor with men. We need to learn how to grow socially. We need to grow how to grow spiritually. We know how to grow in spirit. We need to grow how to, in stature, physically. We need to grow in all these areas. But we don't. Unfortunately. So we stumble along the way. We learn a lot of things along the way in life. Through all kinds of mistakes. How many mistakes do you think you have made in your life thus far? 10? Maybe 5? Try 500. We all make mistakes all the time. And we struggle forever to learn something. And then finally we learn it and we realize, well, I only learned one lesson. There's so many other lessons yet to be learned. And so we don't know how to apply God's Word. It doesn't come to us. You know, how we wish we can be like Jesus. Food, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. How nice. It is written again. Wow. It is written. You shall worship the Lord God, nobody else, okay? And Him only you shall serve. That's it. Well, we don't know, unfortunately. Part of it is not written in us yet, in our heart and our mind. For Jesus, it was there. It was written in His mind, in His heart. This is how it should be. But we don't. Unfortunately. Okay? Let's say you determine to read God's Word. From here onwards, I will devote time to read the Lord's Word. Then your girlfriend called, your boyfriend called. Okay, let's go supper. Okay, let's get a giggle. Finish. That's it. That is gone. famous last words. You see, we're so drawn to all these things. Unfortunately, we are pulled apart in so many different directions every day. If it is not friend, it is work. Boss calls up, SMS or email or whatever. Answer now, 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 now. Again, we're all here we go. And it's there. Unfortunately, and it is work, it is friend, it is commitment, it is family, it's personal life, and so on and so forth. We are pulled in a dozen different ways. And we don't know how to order our life aright. Wish we would. And you say, I am determined to do this. And this is it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to walk here. Very few. No, three people. Samuel, John the Baptizer, Jesus. Anybody with the same names? Hardly anybody else would just go that way. Okay? Most of us, when we were kids, as I said, we are not like Samuel, not like Jeremiah, not yet the same age of Moses. You say you wait until you're 80. Well, we could wait until you're 80. You can change your name to Moses by that time, or at that time, but I won't be around to see it. I will let's see who you lead out of wherever. It's not easy. It really is not easy. So we tend to apply wrongly. We apply wrongly because we don't understand. We don't know how to apply easily because we really don't comprehend, and so on and so forth. And complications, unfortunately. Okay, here's one last question. And a lot of times the word is emphasis on living powerful testimonies, character molding, and finding life. And the answer is, but of course, because we do have this just one life. We have just one life. We might as well make it wonderful, make it meaningful, make it substantial, make it significant. We have just one life, right? So if we have one life, if we are a cat, we got nine lives. Nine lives. And eight lives will be scared out of us, only one life left. Sooner or later, the cat also has... What does a cat do? First life, sit in the sun. Just take in the sun. Eat fish. And that's all it does. I just imagine what this. And then what does it do? Encounter with the dog. Wow. Scared out of his life. So now left one. One less. And so on and so forth. Nine lives. We have just one life. So what do we do with one life? It takes forever to be good in one life. Really, it takes a long, long, long time to be good, to be any good in anything. It takes a long, long time. Right? It's important for us to understand. Gabrielle was just sharing with me how she's going into Pete's very soon. Six years, right? Med school. So now you're going into Pete's how many years? Six! 6 years! We'll see you there at the end of the line cheering for you. 12 years! And she's only an expert in small things. And even then there's subspecialties. And sub-sub-specialties. You can't even know everything. 12 years. So by the time you finish, not so young anymore. It takes so long to get things done. Right? That's how it works. That's why the Bible teaches us to emphasize, make full use of your life. What do you want to do with your life? Well, I took my life and told the Lord it belongs to Him. For the last 40 years, I devoted myself to the reading, to the study, to the mastery of the Word of God. 40 years. So, long way to go. Just not even 40 years yet. And it takes a long, long time to be good at anything. Obviously. right? Something that anything can go along the way. Anything can disrupt. Anything can spoil. Lots of things can happen. Wrong things can happen. Well, there we go. How do we do this? That's why the Bible emphasizes this. Okay, now, what about supernatural things? Okay. What about supernatural things? I must tell you this, that the supernatural thing should include, and I want to say this, should include the Holy Spirit in our life. It is a supernatural thing. Did you know that? The change of life is a supernatural thing. Do you realize this? No, we often don't realize this, that there are lots of supernatural things actually happening in our life even now. You can't change yourself, but God can change you. That requires supernatural power in life working upon us. Okay? Now the question here is loaded along these lines. What about supernatural things such as evil spirits and black magic? For example, what about this thing called black magic? Right? What do you do? Take this. And here comes Harry Potter. I forgot the incantations already. I don't know. Hilarium. Laugh. Whatever the case may be. And, okay. Is this thing really called black magic? Now, the black magic thing here must be distinguished with opposite of white magic. No, it's true. You just don't know. You just don't know it. Okay? White magic is supposed to be for the good. Okay? And this is the black magic is supposed to be for the bad. Okay? This is how it works. I mean, it's meant to work this way. Okay? One day, I will tell you a story, and this is true. This fellow, he is a Thai master. You know, you go to Thailand, and they got this person here. And he said to me, he said, can you come by? I share you with you something. So he said, I got these playing cards. And so, let's say this is playing cards. And I can show you what it is. I said, I also got magic tricks playing cards. You know how to find which card is yours. He says, no. That one is your mathematics. By elimination, you know what card. No, I know. Mine is different. Mine is by true magic. So I said, okay. I wasn't very keen about this. Anyway, not that I'm scared. No, I'm not scared. So, it's one of those prayers that I make, which I don't very often make. So, I said, Lord, you know, make him go wrong. So, otherwise he won't learn, you see. So, yeah. So, he said, okay, pick a card. I said, I pick this card. Okay, this one, I know. You sure, huh? Okay, yes. Okay, you put it back. You shuffle for me. Now, he says, I will now pray. I will pray to my God, and then, oh, no, no, no. And then, so he took his beads out, and I said, this one, wrong. How can be wrong? I have never been wrong. I said, Lord, thank you. So he was very upset. He said, okay. And another time. Maybe the first one, not. Maybe I didn't do it right. So he said, okay, look another one. Choose another one. Okay, sure, right one. Don't worry. So I put his hand. Okay. So he asked me to mix up. So I said, Lord, please do it again. So he tried again. And I'm telling you a true story. I'm just telling it hilariously, but it's a true story. There's a lot of tension when I was there with him. And so he came to me and he said, "Is this the one?" No, wrong. Whoa, he was very angry. He was very, very angry. So he was fuming and he was perspiring and he was just very, very angry. Okay, one last time. So I said, "Lord, three is good." Long time. I watch him, poor fellow. See, he was actually struck by meningitis problem. And he was a meningitis victim, and he's paralyzed. But he really believed that all this black magic stuff is going to help him walk again. And he was not getting any better. He was getting fatter and getting worse. But, you know, I was a friend to him. And the third time, and he was again, and I told him, "He says, are you true with me?" I said, "Yes. This is not. You're wrong again." So I told him, I said, "Look, don't believe in these things. You're going into the dark side. Long before Darth Vader came around. don't go to the dark side. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus instead?" He said, "No." So what happened was, when I was talking to him and all that, then the telephone rang. And the sister called me and said, "Are you still with my brother?" I said, "Yes." "Can I ask you to leave or not?" I said, "Okay, but what's up?" He said, "My family went to call the temple priest to come and fight this spirit. But they cannot approach the house. No matter how they try to approach a house, they go down there, they have to turn back. Go down there, they turn back." So they said, "There's only one thing. There is a very powerful God somewhere. It's not me, okay?" "There is a powerful, powerful being there, and we cannot approach it because we just cannot win." So I said, "You take care, I'll see you." Okay, I never saw him again, but I left. And then later on, the sister said, "Thank you for doing that, because only when I left could those chaps come in." You know, and they couldn't come in. But I'm never afraid of black magic. First and foremost, I just want to tell you, you being a child of God, you are being kept. You will always be kept. This is the Lord's promise. His angels will protect us. You must never, never, never be afraid of anything outside. Never be afraid. Because that is the Lord's promise. He will keep us. He will protect us. He will shield us all the time. But why would I want to spend a lot of time on these chappies? I'm not interested. Really. I am not interested because all I need to know is that God will protect me. All I need to know is God will shield me. God will keep me. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of going to Burma. I'm not going to be afraid of India. I'm not afraid if there are millions and millions and millions of whatever spirits there may be. Because I know that God's with me. And that's all I need to know. Essentially, that's my basic approach. So I know, greater is He who is inside me than he who is in the world. And I'm not afraid. The Lord said, "I am with you." Right? Isaiah 41:10. We all memorize this all the time. Right? "Do not fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We should never be afraid. When you walk through the waters, you know, they're not going to harm you. They're not going to overflow you. When you go through the fire, they're not going to scorch you. Don't worry. This is the Lord's promise to us, and we can thank God for that. Wonderful, wonderful promise. Wonderful word. Okay? So I would not worry too much about this thing here. Can you read Harry Potter if you like? If you don't like, no loss. one way or the other. So, these are all dark. No, nothing dark. It's just a lady who is very happy. She goes laughing to the bank. Remember this. She just, whatever the case may be. So don't worry too much about these things. Most of these things are just imagination. Okay? And it's a question of how you imagine. And some of those things are really quite ridiculous. If you read the spells especially, they're real funny. It's just really, really so funny. But they're really nothing much. But they always tell you about the good and the bad all the time. Okay, we turn to page 10 now. Turn to page 10, and we are looking at this idea of a personal effort. Okay, and I have made a list of 20 different things which the psalmist attempted when he talks about this whole idea of effort made. Remember, this is the perspiration part. Okay, this is the perspiration part, and it is important for us. And he says, when I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. It is about learning. Okay? So here is how it works. This is the part of learning on our part. When I learn. This is my part. Okay? This is my part that I must do. This is the divine part. This is God's part. He will write. He will put. He will explain. He will teach. He will compare. This is God's part. This is my part. Now, you cannot just think that God is just sitting on there and then got to zap things into you. It doesn't work that way. You've got to do your part, not fail to do your part, and you want to learn. When I learn your righteous judgment. Psalm 119. Well, let's take a look. Let's go back to Psalm 119 again. I've taken quite a bit of things from this particular psalm. Easier for us to keep track. Okay? Taking heed, number 3. With my whole heart I have sought you. Now, there we go. Now, I'm not so sure that we really have got a whole heart. I don't know whether you've seen Singapore dog lovers. Some of the Singapore dog lovers are just absolutely amazing. When I was in the US recently, I heard two ladies talking. They were outside a store, and I was amazed, and they were much older lady. One was saying to the other about her white boxer. You know this dog, boxer, boxing? And she was talking about how this white boxer was, and then her friend said, you know, I have one too. Can I show you? So he took out her handphone and showed pictures, and they were comparing pictures as if they were like live children. And then the second one was saying, well, you know, we were just wondering whether we were ready for the second one. Wow. I listened and I was... You could have knocked me down with a feather at that point of time. They were talking about their doggies as if they were human life beings. And it's serious. Over in San Francisco, it's not uncommon for people to be called dog walkers. So I see this person, 4 dogs on the left hand, 4 dogs on the right hand. And they walk. You know, just by walking dogs alone, he can rent an apartment every month and pay $3,500 US rent a month just walking dogs. My master give up job, we walk there, walk dogs there. This is how much they are being paid just to walk dogs. Amazing. So this is a very, very big thing. And with a whole heart, they seek this. And of course in Singapore, it's slowly following suit. And we've seen some of them, they dress their... They pram, you know? They bring pram. Hello. Ooh, ooh. Amazing. They have everything there. And they got little hoodies. They have got this thing, pink gloves and foot and foot, what's that? Booties. I don't know what they call. What do they call it? Footies? No, booties. And they were just delighted and talk about them. Wow. And they are their sweethearts and the darlings and the, whoa, all the nicest things. Hello, lollipop. And things like that. You can imagine how they must have. This is called with a whole heart. Most of us, when we work on memorizing the Lord's word, no heart. Half heart. But not whole heart, unfortunately. But we really, really must look at it very carefully and ask ourselves whether we can say, I have sought you with my whole heart, I have sought you. I will meditate. Number 5. The Lord's word needs meditation. You know, I hope you understand what meditation. Most of us, when we meditate, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just like when a doctor says, okay, just count to 10, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. Time to wake up. What happened? 2 hours have gone by. The procedure is done. Oh, is that right? You see, most of us are very good at that. That kind of meditation. Okay, I do this about once a year when I go for my procedure. And now I know the routine. Okay, hi, and all the usual stuff. Okay, count to 10. 1, 2. I try to stay awake, no, very, very. I try to stay awake. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. Bye. See you. And 1 of 2 hours of my life unaccounted for. I have no idea what happened those 2 hours. I don't know whether they played with my footsies. We do not know. I've seen people wheel, you know, at hospitals, and then I've seen people at prison already there, and a person laying there, hi. They talk to each other, all the attendants, they do funny things. I've seen them. I don't know what to do. Should I? Hello, you shouldn't do that. But I've seen them tickle the food, play with the big toe. I've seen this. I've seen this. And I'm always afraid they will do the same thing to me. But it happens. It happens. I remember one, why I kept awake. One, I was, when I was going for this cervical, anterior cervical, of my neck region. And then here comes a young anesthetist, training to be anesthetist. And she was going to put me under. I was awake. And I say, don't you even think about it. In whatever menace I could be. Don't even think about it. So the chief anesthetist was my friend. Said, no. You just only here to observe. This is my friend. I'm going to do him in. Maybe he should have. Maybe that's not the best word to use. but he was. I mean, I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. Okay? So it's a question of whether we know that meditation is not sleeping time. Meditation really requires an ability to concentrate. I don't know whether you actually know how to practice meditation. Meditation in the scripture, biblical meditation, is not sitting down there, letting your mind go blank, breathe through your nose, and then breathe. Be conscious. No, there's nothing to do with that. meditation in the scripture is very, very profound. So very often what I do, let's say that I want to dwell on this topic, say, called at the end of the year. Of course, I need my mind to be to read the Lord's Word, all different aspects of calling. And I pray, and I literally meditate. And I'm going to share with something that's a bit complex. But the thoughts will come, and they will form themselves. Now, I need to check, but I will form myself, and I will have a whole series of messages, one after the other, because of meditation. I have been doing this for the last 40 years. I wish I can tell you that it's easy. It's not. And there is no shortcut about this part of it. Okay? It comes now, a bit more easily, not in the past. So I will take this word and I will dwell on it, aspect after aspect, you know, feature after feature, text after text, and tell the Lord, please open my eyes. Let me meditate. Let me understand what it is. What shall I emphasize on the morning part? What shall the Bible study teachers teach? What will be my evening messages? What text should I draw upon? This becomes my prayer. And I literally wait. And it will form, the thoughts will form themselves. My part is to put them down, study further, verify, work at it. Meditation is hard work, where you allow nothing else but the Lord's Word to feature. That's all there is to it. And it is hard. This, wrong. Nope. This, maybe. Good possibility. Nope. And you work on it until you know where it goes. Meditation is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a hard art to practice because it begins with knowledge first. At level of meditation, I look for discernment. Not knowledge. Knowledge is already done. Okay? I understand knowledge. But discernment comes in here. Wisdom comes in. Impact, you think about it, and you work on these things here bit by bit till you get to where you want to go. So it is really quite challenging. Okay? And then of course, the part is, I will delight myself. And I hope that you will find delight. You know, that sometimes when I write BITM, when I write different things, I am just, as it were, thrilled by what I read, by what I do. Sometimes it does not come through to you as delight. But I really would like very much for you all to find the same delight. So I write, but we see Jesus differently from when I write revealed by the Spirit, or when I write the Psalms. The different techniques, the different things, it's very hard to catch them actually, but that's there. And it's learning how to delight yourself in the statutes of the Lord. Are any questions you want to ask on this matter here? Now, this is the perspiration part. I want to, for example, my soul, verse 8, breaks with longing for your judgments. Okay? I cling to your testimonies. Number 11. This is my comfort in my affliction. Number 15. I thought about my ways and I turned my feet. I am a companion of all who fear you. Can you see? Every single part, every single one requires effort, requires perspiration on our part. Now, I really wish that when you get down for little breaks here and there, your greatest joy, your greatest delight would be to share with each other a word, a verse, a text that you have discovered. It would be wonderful. Not easy. But it would be wonderful to attempt this. Okay? Alright, any questions you would ask? Yeah. Joe?
Pastor, can I ask, we know that God's role in for us memorizing God's word and keeping it in our hearts is for Him to write it in our hearts and give us a new heart and a mind, like in Ezekiel 36.
Right.
And for the Holy Spirit is to indwell in us, to give us the spirit of counsel, of understanding, of wisdom.
Right.
How do we see Christ in this picture? Like, is there a role
will
that...
form, your mind will be like Christ. The ultimate image for, you know, but God's, let's say at the end of this process, okay, from little Joe, big Joe. No. The ultimate image, how would you like to see here? Joe, what would you like?
Ali will be Christ.
Exactly. So when people look at you, they will not see you. They will see Christ in you. That is the ultimate goal. Can you see this? This is what we mean by having the mind of Christ. But along the way, there are so many things that go wrong on one side. So many things that go wrong on the other side. And the Lord has to help us to stay. I will run the course of this, of your commandment. Right? Our hearts, emotions, problems in life, difficulties, afflictions, temptations, the evil one, you name it. And the Lord keeps us straight. More and more, we become like Christ in fortitude, in spirit, in knowledge, in understanding, in response, in feelings, in prayer, in faith, in serving the Lord. See, so many aspects. So that we will become more and more and more and more Christ-like. That's what God's goal really is. Because He is the image of God Himself, Hebrews 1. So when we say we are godly, literally it means like God. You see? And so when we say we are like Christ, we follow Christ. That's what we do. So when we follow Christ, this is what happens. We walk like Him. We talk like Him. We respond like Him. In Hebrews and book of Acts chapter 4, we read, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. They saw their courage. They saw their ability to speak. They saw the power that was in them. And they knew that these men had been with Jesus. They were His disciples. You see, what I've listed for you here in the personal effort, it's non-exhaustive, but there we go. We have 20 different ways in which the psalmist struggle with, I am going to hide your word in my heart. Most of us cannot identify with half of it. I mean, you look at the measure of our time every day. Most of our time we struggle, we keep with our work. Right? And then we've got incumbent family responsibilities. Where would we have time to go and really develop our faith and our life properly? We don't. And so we struggle. And we constantly struggle, unfortunately. Yeah.
My question is a bit related to Joel's question. So, like, for God's part is to write on our hearts and our minds, and the goal is to become the mind, to have the mind of Christ.
Right.
But the two minds are not really the same in the sense that, like, the mind of Christ, is it to say that it encompasses everything? Like, the person of Christ?
Perfectly, yes. Ideally, yes. Reality, no. I think we all know this. Right? I mean, we all know that this is where we have a big problem. When we look at the many, many things in life, you look at the life of Christ, we look at the mind of Christ. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay, let's take a look at this man called Paul. And here is a person who is a Pharisee. Pharisee of the Pharisees. He is a persecutor of Christians. He was a violent man. And you name it, you can add on. That's why he calls himself chief of sinners. I'm his sergeant, by the way. You know, and so there he is. How do you change? Very hard to change. A Pharisee. Hard to change his food habit. Hard to change his mindset. Hard to change his spirit. Hard to change. But he changed. His was a complete change. He can eat with Gentiles. He can talk to Gentiles. He can be at home with Gentiles, which is just absolutely astonishing. That's change. He had a heart and a mind of Christ. But it took him a lot to go through that. Okay? So if you take a look at Paul's life, you begin to realize that God had to do a lot of things in his life before he could become the servant of God, become the apostle that he was in time to come. That's where we go, the change. Okay? So we look at the affliction that he had. It was blindness. If you have an encounter with Jesus and you suffered blindness along the way, it will change your life. Okay? Then he started to tell people that he is a believer. No one believed him. Absolutely nothing doing. Rejected. So God took him out and 3 years in isolation in Arabia. You are non-exit, not important. You are nothing now. Okay? And it took one person called Barnabas. So, hey, you know what? There was a new convert and there was this man called Saul. Let me try and bring him in. And he was the sidekick of Barnabas for a while. Okay? So he was just his assistant. Literally, work alongside him. Are you willing to work humbly? Or you want to be senior pastor already? So he worked humbly with him at Antioch. And it was there that for years he worked there. And then the Spirit of God said, okay, set him apart. Barnabas and Saul. This took some time. This 3 years. This took some more years. And then he was there. He finally tried to make his debut, as it were, to relate to people in Jerusalem 14 years later. So many years took place. By which time, he had established his life, his ministry, as an apostle, as a preacher, as a teacher of the Gentiles. And people recognized it. 14 years minimum. And of course, he became an outstanding missionary. And wherever he was, he went now, he just shone. Naturally shone. The power of the Spirit of God was there. The Word was God was there. And he began to do all the things that he did. But it was a long process. And it's a wonderful thing to know how he was prepared to go through whatever process that may be. You see? So we need to go through the same, well, maybe not the same, exactly the same process, but we need to know ultimately what is the dispensation of God for you? What does God want you to do? Most of us haven't figured it out. What does God want you to do? What can you do? What does God want you to do? Okay, so that I start off as a young Christian. What do you think God wants you to do? What can God do in you first? That's the first question. What can God do inside you first? Right, so we go. So now I am a new believer. I can be a new believer or I can be a pair of shoes. So it's up to us. Okay? So I want to be a new believer and I want to learn Psalm 119. I want to learn His statutes. I want to grow. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a fisher of men. Okay, so bit by bit, I'm growing, right? Now, Jesus said, none. Of course, the Lord has corrected many things, changed many things, cleansed many things in my life. And so now I am now ready for the next stage. I want to talk about serving God. Okay, can I serve God? Yes, provided that there is A, knowledge. B, there are ministerial skills. C, there is a calling. D, I discover my giftedness. E, I train my gifts. F, or C, D, E. And then I have the Spirit of God giving to me what we call a dispensation. I know what to do with my life. Okay? Having said that, now I am ready for ministry. And I start all over again. Now this time, it is ministerial knowledge. Okay, now I'm going into further training. I'm going into deeper level. I'm studying Greek now. I'm studying Hebrew now. I'm studying church history now. I'm studying philosophy now. I'm looking at lots of stuff now. And I am now ready in training. Now I'm going into actual ministry. The actual ministry. Wow, 24/7. Wow, tak boleh tahan. Stress. And then we falter. We fail. Then sorry. You see, you're still a believer, but here, didn't do so well, you didn't do so well, and that's it. End of the rope. End of the line. That's it. And this is for the ends in failure. Closure. Start alive again. Do something else. That's the wisest thing to do. Because to carry on with this is disastrous. It's really disastrous at the end of the day. Better to prevent this than to go in and fail. Naturally. Okay? But if you really want to succeed, see, now you must use another whiteboard. You could do a lot of things. You can become a founder of churches. You can become a good teacher. You can tell jokes. You can be a writer. You can be a missionary. You can do a lot of things. And then God give you grace and strength to live another 40 years. So this is how it normally works out. But very often we want to be here and want to be here. It doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of time to really succeed in anything significant. Okay? So you have to, in your initial life, you must make sure that you grow up properly first. Establish heart, mind, spirit. I really, really want to serve the Lord rather than get distracted left, right, center. Okay? And then the ministerial skills. Little bit of, could you be faithful to this? Could you do this? Could you do this? Hey, didn't do this. Fail. Forget it. Writing on a wall. Is it not going to succeed? That is very obvious. Okay? Then you've been trusted with greater ministry. And then you begin to realize that because you've been faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in much. You've been given little things, you've been faithful, much more will be given to you. Okay, we're going to entrust you with this, that, and whatever you do will prosper. And it's wonderful to see this. So this is what we can do for the Lord finally. Whether in full-time ministry or otherwise. But it starts here. And the Word of God follows us every step of the way. If you really want to think in terms of the full-time ministry, if the Word of God is not a part of you, it's never going to go anywhere. We read the book of Acts 13. We just concluded our study of Acts 13 recently. It's the Word of God, Word of the Lord, glorified, spread everywhere. It's the Word of God all throughout, beginning to end. It's this. That's what is the secret of it all, the Word of God. All right, anything else you want to raise up? Yeah, Jonas, have you got a mic there? Thanks.
I want to ask a question with regards to personal effort.
Yeah.
So I recognize that I lack a personal effort to hide God's word in my heart.
Right.
I need to work on prayer.
Sure.
I need to work on spending more time to read God's word.
Right.
And memorize God's word. So how should I, practically speaking, allocate time for each one of these aspects?
Discipline. Most of us are not very disciplined people. We all have 24 hours, right? But some of us seem to have less. Unfortunately. So, let's say that I want to combine, read, memorize, pray. Yes. Okay? Be a Canadian. This is a Royal Mounted Police. And they always dress nice red and on horses. They always look great. So, I want to read, I want to memorize, I want to pray. Then I can be a policeman. It would be wonderful if I can do it. Can I learn this? Yes. It is absolutely possible. In anything, the practice is there. In the days of Mao Zedong, it is Chairman Mao's Red Book. I was reading in those early, when younger days, I was very interested in ping pong. And I studied the program of the Chinese experts who were then the champions in the world. They've been reigning champions for just about forever. Okay? So this is how they train. A ball. They feel the ball, they touch the ball, play with the ball, throw the ball, every day. How many times? Throw the ball. How many times? 500 times at one training session. 500 times. Ah. After three or two or three, we are fed up. Ah. See, that's why we are not ping pong champions. Now, they used to play those pen holders style. I used to do pen holders style. So I see them practice. All the time, practice. 500 times. Throw the ball, spin. Throw the ball, spin. Throw the ball, spin. All the time. Even at night, they sleep or something like that. You see, you throw anything and then... There it became a part of them. And then, after they practice... Literally, their training sessions are tuned to 8 hours as you do normal work. They do 8 hours of work practicing. And then they practice. Constant, same stroke, same thing again. The person will return. All the time. Practice. This side. Back and front. All the time. Like this. Front and back and front and back and front. Just imagine how many hours you go crazy. They don't even look at it. Hello, how are you? You know, ping pong is so swift, you cannot even think. Where? Gone. You cannot see. You feel. You see the moon. There. Block. That's how fast they are. Then they spend 4 hours reading Chairman Mao's thoughts. Do you know how he swam the Yangtze River? How he crawled across the mountains? And so on and so forth. And he was just doing all sorts of amazing things so that they are inspired. You cannot be tired. No? And so they work. 8 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours. And they work at it from a young. They keep on training. By the time they come to be teenagers, late teens, they are world beaters. Singapore ping pong players complain, "Wow, so hard. You know, not enough money, not enough allowance. Why the boss, why the coach called me? We are angry with you." Unfortunately, that's how it's our spirit. It never gets go beyond anywhere. So if we really want to learn, then we must learn it the right way. Right? So this is important for us to understand. I think you've been to morning classes and you begin to realize that the Word of God is so deep. You read it ordinarily, you can never, never fully fathom it at the depth you want it to go. That you want to go. You need to be coached. You need to be taught. You need to follow through. That's the only way. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do many, many things. Okay, now you are going to be this. Now you are an organizer. Then you also are singing in a choir. You want to lead you are the soloist. And then you also want to be usher. Hello, I'm going to sing. But then you cannot do everything. You have to know what you want to know. You need to know. That's it. It takes a lot. But then the real person will come forth. Will come through. What is the real Jonas like? The real metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, not M-E-T-A-L. Okay, the real metal of you will come out. You can take anything. We ask you to do something and we know it will be done faithfully. I think this is very important. If we don't do this faithfully, then we have failed. Okay, but remember, a person who is a student, is a student pastor, is basically a student. No more than that. You cannot place a person on a pedestal. It would be a mistake to make the person put a person on a pedestal. Obviously, and then the grueling years will come. The training will come. That's very important. Are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Okay? So, it happens. In the past, sometimes when I come early in the morning, my control doesn't work. And then, you know, this past few mornings, the controls are not working again. So, I've just got to figure out how we can... Okay, so then what happens is that... I sort of break in somehow. Then the alarm bell goes. So I tell the person who was staying here, "Listen, would you..." "Oh, I didn't hear." Well, that can happen more than once. You can either wake up and say, "Well, listen, I've got to be a bit more disciplined than I am," or we don't. Training all the time. Come on, in any program we know there's training. When you train your medical students as surgeons, you're going to tell them, "Easy, no problem, just take this pen knife and it's cut." You see, how long time, anyhow you like, you know, just cut anything you feel like cutting, deeper, no, no, I just cut. Of course not. There has got to be certain ways of doing things, obviously, that we learn. All the time we learn, don't we? It's a question of whether we want to learn well, whether we be faithful. or we're going to be creative? And the key word is faithful. That's how it works for us. Does that answer the question, I think, here? So you don't want to do too many things. Just those few things about your salvation, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about your life, about your character, and so on and so forth. And then you build further. When you are stronger, you will grow a little better. Then you go next stage. Then the next stage. The next stage. You cannot take from one to the other just like that. You can't. But you start falling apart here at the beginning. And when you're beginning, you already fallen apart. What is that to put forward? What is that to offer at the end of it all? Nothing much. Okay? It's very rigorous, I must warn you. Okay? It's really, really, really rigorous to become a person who wants to serve the Lord and serve the Lord well. Alright, any questions you want to ask? But is it worth it? That's a good question. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Once there was a rabbi, and he said that let's learn about eternal values. If I give $10 as my offering to God, and it has eternal value, out of $100, how much else do I have? And all the rabbinic students, I know the answer. $90. Wrong. Huh? Okay, sir, rabbi, please say that again. Let's talk and learn eternal values. $10, this offering I want to give to God. How much do I have left? Is it 80? Wrong. What? Not 90, not 80, what? How creative can you get? 70, 60, 50? Wrong. Answer? Anybody? Rabbi? What's the answer? Nobody figured it out. And he said the answer is zero. If those $10 are of eternal value, the rest have got no value. You have not saved 90 bucks. You got zero. Wow. That is profound. That really is profound. You see, spiritual mathematics is not quite the same. It really is not quite the same. Think about this. I learned a new mathematics recently. I must share this with you so you can have fun. Okay? From 6 onwards, I can multiply 7 times 7. What do I have? What do I have? 7 times 8. What do I have? I have 56. Really? Just like that, 56. 9 times 9. What do I have? 81. I didn't know such mathematics exist. And I'm not memorizing it because I know 7 times 8. That was how I heard. 7 times 8 is, wow, 56. And a 10-year-old girl taught me this. How silly I must have appeared. That's what it is. Amazing. I didn't know that such a thing existed. I didn't know that God created fingers for this. Amazing. Have you figured out what it is yet? Yeah? Amazing. This is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you didn't know that you can multiply this. Okay, 6 times 9. What do we have? 54. One, two, three, four, five. And there we go. Amazing. And you look at this very, very carefully, you begin to realize that a lot of these things are there. Amazing. It's a matter of understanding in greater depth. Now, I'm not a mathematician. Okay? My sister is. My son is. I'm not. I need a calculator. Same thing in spiritual thing here. Okay? It's a question of developing knowledge first. Basics. And from the basics, you go on to higher or going to deeper levels all the time. We need people who are solid. People who are really, really, really solid in their faith and in their life before they can amount to anything significant for God. That's what we're looking for. Okay? Now you say, wow, I am no nearer to learning Bible verses. Well, tonight we're going to learn about how God actually helps us to learn. Okay? Through the experiences of our life. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word given to us. Help us to be greatly challenged, greatly moved, to explore how we can develop a faith, a life, hiding your word in our hearts. Pray for your grace to be given to us. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.